Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, guiding you to a career in financial services. This episode originally aired on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Make sure you join me each week as I share with you information on how to become a financial professional and the things you should be considering as you navigate down this career path. Without further ado, here's this week's episode. Hey, everybody, this is Dominique Henderson, your YouTube CFP, coming at you today. Got a very special guest, Julie Kalkowski of the Financial Hope Collaborative. And how I met Julie was very interesting. The internet makes the world so small. I was reading through my alumni, Creighton Alumni Magazine, and I saw this wonderful article about what she's doing in the Omaha area. Definitely wanted to have her on to hopefully inspire some of my aspiring and current financial professionals. Welcome today, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm grateful today. I'm alive another day, and I'm anxious to have this, eager to have this conversation with you because you are doing some great things in the Omaha area. And I just wanted you to kind of come on and share your story and kind of hopefully and maybe inspire some of the viewership on different perspectives on how people can help in the financial services industry.
And Lord, we need a help. We need a lot of help with around finances. I mean, the Vera poll just came out and said 85% of Americans are stressed at least several times a month about their finances, and 30% of Americans are stressed all the time every month about their finances. So money is a big deal in this country.
And
stress around money is huge.
So talk about that. That I think that dovetails beautifully into what I was going to ask you is like, how did you get into, you're obviously a seasoned professional.
And, you're so kind.
I want to know, how did you get to this journey? I mean, it wasn't probably a very linear path, which a lot of my listeners want to know, okay, so what do I do next? What do I do this? I'm like, well, it's not a linear path. There's bumps and bruises and curves. So tell us how you got to the Financial Hope Collaborative in Omaha. Like, what was your journey there?
Well, kind of briefly, because I'm old, really old, and so we don't want to go through decades of stuff. But, you know, I started in the mid-90s. They were doing welfare reform in Omaha, and they were going to have single moms go work full-time for $4.25 an hour. And there was no way people could pay their rent, their utilities, and childcare. And I didn't want kids left home alone. So I thought I started a micro business program to help people start home-based businesses. Then they could work from home. Their kids wouldn't be left alone or in a very bad childcare situation. So I thought that would work. And it sort of did. It worked quite well for some people. And a lot of people, after they went through the training, they're like, nah, I'm not going to start my own business. And so that was, we consider that a success too. But then that wasn't working because the finances were always an issue. People were mingling their personal and their business, and that didn't work so well. So then I thought, if people had savings, so I started an individual development account program in 2000 in Omaha. And if I thought people had savings, then they would do better in business. So that helped, and you know, IDAs are a tool to help people invest in assets. And as financial planners, you know, if people have assets, they do a lot better. I used to work in neighborhoods and had this guy, Rudy Novacek, and he'd say, honey, you line up 10 kids, and I can tell you of those 10 kids, which of their parents own their own home. Those kids are more stable. They're not moving as frequently. And so assets are really important to our families and to our communities and to our country. So how do we help people create assets? So after that, I went over to United Way, and I ended up starting the Earned Income Tax Coalition. And again, that was good, but people were getting a lot of money and not knowing how to really leverage that one-time huge infusion of cash. And so there was a woman from the Federal Reserve, and she was a real pill. She wanted to do financial education, Dominique. And I'm like, no, look at the numbers. Look at the evidence. There's no evidence that financial education makes a damn bit of difference. So I'm not doing it. I don't want to say I had 79 people go through 2 hours of training. Nothing changed. I said, I want people. I want to build people's financial self-confidence. Mm. I've got to give them the tools and the skills to do that and the information. And then they can improve their quality of life. They can, their family's life will get better. So this is all about helping families succeed. And I know that's what your financial planners want to do. You want to help families succeed. And so she was a real pill and she wouldn't give up. And so I finally said, I'm not going to do it the way everybody else does it. And she said, well, then let's create a different model. So we do in-class training, then okay. we do one-on-one financial coaching. And I call it the Weight Watcher model of financial education because you get the information, but then I have to come to you as my financial coach and talk to you about what I'm doing. And as most Americans, and I'm the queen of procrastination, it's like, we don't want to do things. And, you know, my favorite survey that was ever done in America, and the Federal Reserve will deny this, but I did hear this at a national conference many years ago, and they said they did a study, and they said to Americans, would you rather talk about your personal sex life, or would you rather talk about your money? And guess what? Nobody, I'll tell you everything that happened with John or with Paul, but don't ask me about my money. I mean, there's so much shame.
It's so taboo. You're right, even to today. Right.
Yeah, we don't talk about a raise. We don't talk about, and so people think they're the only ones. They think I'm just stupid. I'm not making it. So we've taken kind of some structural problems in our economy and we made them personal problems, and they're not personal problems. But when you have so many people locked out of the financial mainstream, it's not good for those families. It's not good for our economy, national and local. So I just think financial education is just this one tool. If you do it right, you can really impact communities, families, and the economy. So why wouldn't we do it?
No, that you bring up a lot of good points that we're going to have to, we would have to do several podcasts to unpack. But
well, if I can figure out how to make this work again, we could do that. But
no, I love you. You have such great wisdom and insight and perspective. I'm curious. Because the Financial Hope Collaborative has done this study that I started reading about that we talked about briefly about the importance of health and how it's related to your finances. Right. And so, you know, kind of tie in some of the things that you've learned in this study that you would like to convey maybe to tomorrow's aspiring financial professional. Because, you know, I think what I would say from doing this for 20 years is the industry has been really, really gung-ho about gathering assets and, you know, if you got a half a million and up, I'll manage your money. But there's a whole group of people, the large majority of the population that's under that threshold that needs all the help you've been talking about. So maybe some words of wisdom or some strategies, well, not even strategies. I say words of wisdom to the aspiring financial professional that can let them know the importance of tying, you know, what they can do to help people and how that helps their health, their actually health, which you found in the study.
I am delighted that you're going down this path because for years and years, I'd go to bankers and I'd say, look, I can't bring you people that are going to give you $5,000 a month, but what I can do is bring you volume. And they'd always pat me on my arm and say, you are a nice woman, but I don't want your people. I'm like, what am I, Moses? My people? You know, this is crazy. And I talked to some other financial planners and they're like, well, can they give us, you know, $250 a month? I'm like, no, they're not. Their monthly cash flow won't allow that. And they're like, well, come back to me and talk to me when, and I'm like, so, but I just think if we can help people figure out how to use the small amount of money they have. So what we really focus on is monthly cash flow management. Because if you're paying late fees, if you're getting shut off notices, if you're getting it, that really hurts your ability to save. You can't pay down debt if you're paying $7, $8 a month in late fees or you're paying overdraft fees. So trying to kind of minimize those things. So we get, again, our main focus for our program is with single moms, and it's on monthly cash flow management. So once you teach people how much money is coming in, how much money is going out, we don't call it a budget, we call it a spending plan, because I think diet and budgeting are the new F words. I mean,
you're right.
I had one financial planner said, yeah, I just talked with this train wreck of a person. I told him they can't go out to dinner for 7 years. I'm like, nobody's going to stay with that. Are you crazy out of your mind? I mean, that just I mean, we got to give people, they got to figure out how to, you know, till they can make it to the next level. How do they keep their head above water consistently? How do they stop paying those late fees, those overdraft fees?
So what tools are you using to do that, to implement that? Because I just had a conversation with a financial coach, and she was saying that the space right now, with all the technology we have, there's not really, really great tools to help, help with that. Now, granted, you have the person-to-person accountability, but that's if right. the person actually shows up to whatever you're doing. That means the program has got to have a lot of clout and a lot of strength. But what kind of tools are you guys using that as financial coaches to help people stay accountable to some of the things that you're teaching?
Okay, so we do something really basic. The first night of class, so we deal with single moms. Average income is about 23 grand. Mm. First night of class, we hold up an empty pencil case. And we say, every receipt, every dime you spend goes into this pencil case. And then when you come back next week, we're going to have you hold up the pencil case again and show us how many receipts are in there. So we come back the second week and we say, hold up your pencil cases. And they hold them up and half of them are empty. And I don't know what it is. Since 2009, there's been one woman in every class who saved every receipt. I don't know what that is, but it's just, it's good we have an overachiever. But so then the rest just have one or two. And then they kind of look down and they're like, well, I only had one or two. And so my trainer's great. She says, how many receipts did you save last year? And they're like, none. And she says, you got this. In 1 week, you've already done more for your money than you did all last year. And they're like, oh, maybe I can do that. So once they start saving their receipts, they see where their money's going. And once you see where your money's going, you understand you have some choices. And once you feel like you have some choices about what happens to you, instead of stuff happening to you, you might control what's happening around you. And so it's just really exciting. They're like, oh, like one woman came and was like, I spent $117 on fast food last month. And we're like, you got kids. So, and we don't ever say, don't do that. We always say, well, what could you do differently? And so this one woman, she had her doctor said she's pre-diabetic, wanted to eat more carrots. And so she picked up a bag of baby carrots. The kids got in the car and they're like, we're hungry. We want to go to, you know, let's go to Mickey D's. And she's like, no, but she said, no, these are my carrots and you can't eat them. And they're like, we won't touch your carrots. Ugh. And she's like, they're my carrots. The doctor said I had to eat them. So then all of a sudden you hear this rustling. Yeah, and then she's like, are you in my carrots? And they're like, yeah. So it's just like, you know, just we don't tell people what to do because people are adults. And if you're going to talk to people about money, you've got to have people like my second trainer that I brought in this program, she was my yoga instructor. So I went up to her after a yoga class and said, I'm looking for another trainer. And she said, well, what's, and I said, you're one of the best trainers I've ever seen. And she says, what's the topic? And I said, financial education. And she says, oh, I can't do that. And I said, what do you mean? She says, I'm really bad with money. I said, you're perfect. You are exactly who we want. Because if people, they've got to figure out that there's somebody they can talk to that's going to understand, that's not going to judge them, that's not going to think they're stupid, that they can ask them anything that's going to help them move forward, because that's what we want. So,
Time out. You dropped a bunch of nuggets there. And I don't, my brain is not absorbing all the nuggets you're dropping.
I do talk fast even for Midwest.
So here's some takeaways. And whoever's watching this is an aspiring or even current financial professional. I think you just dropped some huge mega bombs. The first is, I think the ability to step by step incrementally take somebody along the path, whether they're a millionaire or whether, like you said, $23,000 in income, which is, I think, below the poverty line.
Oh, well below. Yeah.
So I think that human connection and being able to be a teacher at heart is really what I want to say is so key. And then the fact that your yoga instructor is one of your trainers, for all my people out there that are career changers, is like, I got to go back to school. I got to get all these degrees and all this other stuff. No, you don't. You really just got to be able to relate with people, right?
Yes. And you've got to be non-judgmental. You've got to be open. And you have to really, some of us have this tendency to fix people. And you can't fix people. So what you want to do is say, did that work for you? If it didn't work for you, what could you do differently next time? So it's not like, God, that was stupid. What were you thinking? It's like, no. Americans don't want to talk about their money. So you try to have a conversation and what we're doing is you're building people's financial confidence. So we have a, like you said, tools. We have a really easy Excel spreadsheet where they type in the receipts and then it transfers them to a bucket, whether it's groceries, whether it's car maintenance, whatever it is. So then it pops up and the women are like, oh, I can't do Excel spreadsheet. No, no, no. I'm like, oh yeah, you can. I'm like, I'm a social worker. You can do it. I can do it. And so they're like, okay. And then they're like, I can do Excel. You know, and so again, building that confidence, learning new skills makes us as human beings feel more confident and feel more like ready to take the next steps. And the other thing that we really focus on are SMART goals, Dominique. So what's something little that's achievable that you know you can do in 6 months? So one just wanted to stop paying late fees. And the other thing that financial advisors need to understand is that there's a lot of information that people don't know. So many people come into our class and they're like, I don't know. I didn't know you could do that. That this one woman, we said, you can't pay all your bills out of your first check, you know, your first paycheck. You know, that 2 weeks is not going to cover all your bills. So can you talk to folks? Can you get some of them to transfer it to the second part of the month? So, and then by doing that, they're like, oh, I have some cash flow. I can make that work. So it's just little tips that kind of help people. We get people on the level payment plan because if they know what their rent is, they know what their car payment is, they know what the utilities and your car insurance, those are the four of the five biggest, and then food is next. You can control four of the five, you're going to go a lot farther in controlling your monthly cash flow.
Hey, Dominique here, and I hope you are really enjoying this week's episode. Look, if you're a current or aspiring financial professional and you'd like to join a community of like-minded individuals that I'm sharing my 20 plus years of experience with, make sure you visit my website at www.djh-capital.com for more information. Now back to this week's episode. Talk about some of the, because I remember reading that you guys have some other core, some things that are correlating and some other corollaries that once the person is starting to get confident and they've been in this program, it's 9 weeks, right?
It's 9 weeks of classes. It's 18 hours. So it's 2 weeks. We offer dinner and childcare because those are two of the biggest barriers to participation for single moms.
Yeah.
And then they get a year of financial coaching. So they go through the 9 weeks of class. Then we do alumni meetings every other month because you can't learn all things financial in 9 weeks. And the other thing is when you talk to your financial planners, you got to know your audience. So our program really, I went to single moms and said, what do you need to succeed? And they're like, don't talk to us like we're stupid and don't, you know, just, and also, you know, there'll be different things. And I always say, stress makes you stupid. There was an older woman I used to work with and she'd say, baby, stress makes you stupid. And it does. It gives us tunnel vision. It's kind of like your hair is on fire. You're going to do anything you can to get your hair not be on fire. But then sometimes you have to rob Peter to pay Paul and you survive this week, but next week's going to be tough. So it's helping people learn to plan ahead a little bit. So those little steps where they start to build some savings. And so we talk about that life happens. So you've got to have emergency savings. So if you have that little backup, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And so like, I remember reading though, that there were some corollaries, like you guys are finding that when people kind of came out of this class, not only financially are they doing well and better, but they're getting, you know, they're moving up the economic ladder, like from
a different social mobility. Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit, because I think that's key. I mean, a lot of the work that we do, I like to say it's kind of like the iceberg. Like there's a fee that the client pays, but we try to, at least in my practice, try to bring so much more value that is below the surface that helps in all these other tangential areas. So kind of talk about what you've seen in your program.
Well, we're in the middle right now of doing the first clinical trial in the whole country to see if a financial education, financial coaching intervention can improve the health outcomes of single moms. And it's based on a very small study that we did between 2011 and 2014. And we followed a cohort of women that did 21 at baseline, year one and year two. So after the second year, what we found, Dominique, is that their average income went up about $8,000 after 2 years.
Wow.
And that was back in 11 and 14. We weren't in the recovery yet. And
is that from the average base of 23,000? Wow. Okay. That's huge.
Yeah. So it's like when you increase your by almost 25% your income, you have a lot more choices. And what happens too is when folks would go into work, their boss had called him and said, I know what you're doing, if you're eating something special or I don't know, but you're really different. On it. Yeah. You're not, you know, when you're not stressed out about your money, and remember 85% are stressed. Sometimes Americans are stressed sometime during the month and 30% are all the time. So if we can decrease that financial stress, you're going to have much more engaged employees, more creative, more productive. And so that's what the bosses were seeing, supervisors seeing. They're more productive. They're on it. The other thing is, if you're not stressed on out of your mind, like, we go around and we ask people in 9 weeks what's different at the end of our class. And this one woman said, you know, after about the third week, I stopped drinking every night. I just drink on weekends now to cope. Wow. And people have got to cope. But the week before the last week of class, her boss called me and said, you know, you are doing great. We had some good staff meetings. You had some good ideas. He said, I want you to think about going back to school. We have a tuition remission plan. So now she's going to go back to school. I mean, so it's just, if people are stressed out of their mind, they're not going to be great workers.
They can't focus. And clarity for a vision for your life is kaput.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, you can't plan ahead if you're just survive. So we say we're trying to move people from surviving to thriving.
Wow. Yeah. I love that.
If we, and you can do that. And, but again, it's that combination. It can't be just classes and it can't just be that one-on-one. And we try to normalize them. The first night of class, I say, if you're stressed about your money, then you're a normal American, because most of us are stressed at least some of the time about our money. So,
the CFP board did a study, I think it was in 2016, that 4 out of 5 people are at least somewhat concerned about their ability to save. So that is spot on. Yeah. I think it was about 1,500 or 1,700 people in that study,
right.
Which is, and these are people that were in the workforce, right? So these are not even people that are necessarily like living paycheck to paycheck. These are people that have actually got income and, you know, doing retirement savings or 401k
and
a portion of them are, like you said, they're stressed or they have some type of thought about it. So
Can I interrupt you right there?
Yeah, go ahead.
I do think if people want to have retirement savings, they've got to be able to manage their monthly cash flow. So if you want people to be able to start contributing or participating. So when we did, I first started this in 2006 doing workplace financial education. Mm-hmm. Nebraska Furniture Mart, which is a Warren Buffett company, was one of our early adapters. And that first, what I had them do is I asked their payroll to say how many people, the 17 people in this class, how many of them were contributing to retirement. And it was good. 61% of those in the class were retired. So that was good. By the end of 6 weeks, 100% of the folks in the class had enrolled in the retirement program. And of the folks that had the prior savings, they upped their savings between 2 and 15%. So when people can see, you know, so again, it's about helping people, giving them the tools and the information so they can make better decisions for themselves and for their families.
No, and I think you bring up a good point. I'm glad you interrupted me there, because I think the tomorrow's financial professional, I'll call it, whether you're going to be, you know, non-traditional financial coach, which will probably become more of the tradition in the coming years, or you're going to be or you're going to be more of a traditional, you know, let's work for a firm or be credentialed and all this other kind of stuff. I think the key thing is what you said there is that people that, you know, are empowered to have control over their money are going to be better clients, you know, all the way around. And no matter what spectrum you're on, the point is that people have to get that type of education, and you can provide that as a financial coach or as a financial planner. You can give people that confidence. You can give people those strategies. You don't have to necessarily be managing money to do that. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's a lot of value to add to the population, because let's just face it, it's not taught in, you know, K-12 or even in college level like it needs to be. And most people don't get to a personal financial course until college sometimes, unfortunately.
Right. And so often it's the last semester.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
You know, if you don't, it's that finance, it's kind of a, I think it doesn't hurt to do it in the grade schools. And I think kids learn from their parents about how to manage money.
Yes.
But I also think, you know, if you're not paying all the bills and you've got, you know, you've got dad or mom behind you, there's a little different perspective on finances. But when you're the one paying that rent, you're the one, then you get religion. You're like, okay, yeah, I should have paid attention to this. And yeah,
you're right. But I would think even so, and I don't know if your study's measuring this, the impact that these single moms will have on their kids post this program, because they're going to have money conversations. And a lot of the people I talk to, just to be quite honest, like I would say there's been a large, you know, lack of conversation, lack of interaction with their parents about money. So they have to figure it out on their own, which is the reason why they've made a lot of their mistakes.
Right. We all, you know, it's so funny. We've got a couple of stories about kids, second generation. So one of the things is when we get them on the level payment plan, the kids that live in Omaha that go to the Omaha public school system, elementary school, they move 2 to 4 times a school year. So you're not going to be successful in school if you're moving that often, that frequently. So we get them on the level payment plan. And so then some of the moms start talking to the kids about how we have a great partnership with our local utility companies. And they come in and they present, they talk about all these different things. They talk about how to conserve energy. So this one mom said to her kids, you know, because they we used to get to go out to eat, and then we can't go out to eat anymore. So she said, if you want to go out to eat, we got to decrease our utility bill. So she said, I had one, my son turned into an energy Nazi. Are you in that light? Turn that light on. You can put a sweater on here. And he says, Mom, it was Kmart had fleece blankets for $3.99. We can buy them for the whole family. That'll, you know, and so now they were able to save enough money that once a month they went out to eat as a family.
I love that. I love that.
We have people save the receipt. So the kids are like, Mom, did you get the receipt? Mom, did you get the receipt? She's like, no, well, go back in the store, Mom, get the receipt. You got to have your receipt. I mean, so kids are learning about this, and it's
teachable moments. You're right. You're right.
Teachable moments. So it is. And that's what I want to do, is disrupt the cycle of poverty. So
No, you're doing a bang up job, and you're doing it pretty much by yourself. The couple times that we've talked about this, you're doing these self-funded grants. So, if someone's out there watching, you never know what's going to happen with the internet. Like, how would people get involved with helping, or maybe even I don't know if you'd be open for them to reach out and how they would start their own if they wanted to start initiating. You know, a lot of people don't want to just go to the for-profit side. They want to help on the nonprofit side, like what you're doing. Right. So what are some ways they can get involved or reach out to you to get some additional tips on how you've built this thing up to where it's where it is now?
Well, right now, I just have to give you this caveat. We're in the middle of the first clinical trial in the whole country to see if our intervention. So I'm kind of drowned until the end of December, and I've got to raise one for a second.
Fair enough.
But you know, we have talked about that because people are like, you've got one of the most effective financial education programs we've ever seen. And when I go to national conference, they're like, your class is 9 weeks. Are you out of your mind? How do you get people to come back? And I'm just like, you give people what they need, and you have people have this sense that they're moving forward and that they can do this.
That's key. Yep.
And so if people feel like they're moving forward or they feel like it's helping, they come back. So prior to the study, I think our retention rate was 86% for a 9-week class, which people are like, if you got 20% for a 3-week class, you were happy and you were getting, and so I don't think it's that high. It's probably about 70% now, but still for 9 weeks of class, we're really proud of that. And again, it's giving people what they need and they feel like they're moving forward. So who doesn't want that? Who doesn't like that? But I would look, you know, I was temporarily on the Consumer Financial Protection Board. They have a national advisory board. So I was on that until there was a change in administration. But they have some good tools in terms of financial education and some very good tools that you can help your clients with. So that's, it's under their financial education, and it's just stuff you can print and give to people, and that can help them track monthly cash flow and things like that just to get started. And I, you know, I'm not opposed to helping people create their own program, but I just know right now I got to raise a whole lot more money.
And there's some stuff out there already.
Why invent the wheel? Yep. We're just looking at since I am ambitious, I would love to make one day, Dominique, I would love to make workplace financial education a standard benefit, because in Nebraska, we are number one in terms of the percentage, having the highest percentage of families that have 4 jobs. And when you have 4 jobs, that means you don't have a lot of free time. And most Americans now have 2 or 3 jobs in every family. And so if it's a 2-parent family, and it's just, that's a hard way to go. So people are in the workplace, so that's where they're at. And I have always said, the simpler you make it for people to succeed, or to do something, the more likely they are to do it. So that's let's true. Make it simple for people to succeed. Let's go to the workplace. Employers can see an increase in presenteeism. I mean, there's going to be a reduction in turnover, reduction in absenteeism. They're going to see more engagement, more productivity, more creativity. Because if you're stressed out of your mind, you can't be real creative. So.
Yeah, no, you hit on a lot of points. I mean, definitely we'll have to do a part B once your schedule frees up. I really appreciate you coming on today, Julie, and kind of sharing some of your insights. And I think it's just a lot of good material for even if you're even non-financial professionals to consider, just some of the baby steps that you talked about. And so we'll make sure to link some of the resources that you mentioned down in the show notes for the viewers.
Sounds great. Great talking to you today.
Oh, it's great talking to you too. I appreciate you coming on.
Sure. All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it. And it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.